brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Welcome to Results Matter Radio. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. It's November 6, 2012, Election Day here in the U.S. However, today's show has an international flavor to it. Today on the Results Matter Radio show, we will be discussing Atlanta World Showcase and Governors International Awards. My guests with me today are Lilia Pashtalati, Director of International Services and Membership at the World Trade Center Atlanta, who served on the judges panel at the Governors International Awards. Lilia, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Scott Weiss is also with us, President and CEO of Speakeasy, Inc., a finalist of the International Education Program. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also, we've got Tully Hazel in the studio with us. Tully's a partner at Burr and Foreman in Atlanta. Tully, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Happy to be here.
Excellent. So, Lilia, let's start with you. You've played an integral role in the growth of the international business community here in Atlanta. Give us some background and history around the World Trade Center and your involvement.
Yes. World Trade Center Atlanta is an affiliate of the World Trade Center Association, which was formed in 1970, and since when it's successfully growing throughout the world. We have, as of today, 330 centers worldwide, and we have reciprocity, where as a member of the World Trade Center Atlanta, you can fly to Bangkok, you can fly to Moscow, Sao Paulo, Johannesburg, and interact with the business group of those centers, be introduced to them, conduct business in a secure and trustworthy environment, and actually grow your business internationally throughout these centers. We've been lucky in Atlanta to have Mr. Portman, who brought this license in 1982, and since then, World Trade Center Atlanta has been existing here and bringing a lot of opportunities, a lot of international awareness, a lot of businesses to a local community. Mr. Portman, Governor Busby, Sam Ayoub, and Mr. Brown pretty much were the Frankfurt community members of this board, and they established in those years in 82 the Governors International Awards. The need was strong. The need was to recognize those who had excelled in contributing to the growth of the state of Georgia. And at that time, awards were given for industrial, agriculture, export, and individual service. And as you see, these awards have been successfully celebrated every year, and each year the number of participants is growing. We are glad to partner with the Atlanta Business Chronicle. before that, we've been doing this solely alone, but since 2009, World Trade Center Atlanta is partnering with Atlanta Business Chronicle, and number of participants is growing each year. This year, I believe we had about 600 participants.
That's excellent. It was an amazing event, I hear. Scott, let's hear more about your company. Now, you were a finalist of the International Education Program. Talk about Speakeasy and tell us what the company does.
Sure. Speakeasy is a 40-year-old company here in Atlanta with offices in New York and San Francisco. We work with approximately 5,000 executives a year worldwide in helping them with their communication effectiveness, primarily their spoken word, but also communication strategy in high-consequence communication situations. Prior to that, I was executive vice president at Turner Broadcasting for 10 years and also had a short stint on Wall Street.
Nice. And you're also the author of a book.
I am. I'm author of the book called DARE, which is a book focusing on communication trust in corporate America. And it has been picked up by a publisher and will be launching nationally coast to coast first week of April.
That's very exciting. And you're also very involved in the community on the board of the Entrepreneur Organization of Atlanta. Tell me about what you do as part of that role.
Sure. So I'm the learning chair for EO, which is Entrepreneur Organization Atlanta. And we are an organization with approximately 135 members, all entrepreneurs who own their own companies and have launched those companies here in Atlanta. So we're working very hard to establish a broad entrepreneurial community here in Atlanta, working with other organizations to bring entrepreneurs here to start their businesses.
Have you seen the growth in the international business community during those, 40 years? You must have seen quite an evolution in the relevancy of your products and your programs over that time.
Absolutely. And in fact, we get a large number of executives who fly here from around the world to attend our programs. And of course, Atlanta's airport has become that gateway, which makes it very efficient and very easy and convenient with nonstop flights all over the world for us to go abroad and for our clients to come to us.
Absolutely. Tully, I want to get to know you a bit as well. You're with the firm's transactional group based in the Atlanta office and work on a lot of international business deals with international clients. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we're glad to host this event. So I want to really defer to our entrepreneurs in our international group. But just a little background, I've been a business attorney for about 27 years here in Atlanta. I think we primarily deal with what I call the middle market, which are more entrepreneurs that have a seasoned business. And what I would emphasize is that, particularly in the last 5 to 10 years, the vast majority of businesses of all stripes are really international businesses. You can have a Southeast-based or an Atlanta-based business, but once it gets of any size or of any business plan, it either is aware of its international opportunities, it's aware of its international competitors, it's aware that a lot of talent that they may need for their particular industry is not just locally based. We also become more acutely aware that companies that are strategic in their particular industry in other parts of the world are coming to the United States in the Southeast. Atlanta is a beachhead for most of those companies to be. So what I would say in the evolution of doing what I do, which is try to assist those businesses strategically, and we could talk about some niches, their employment practices, and trying to get good folks through the visa program. Represent quite a few companies that actually have products and trying to deal with logistics of that, a transfer tax and tax issues. But what I would emphasize as comportment with this panel is that really across the board, there are very few businesses, perhaps locally based service businesses, but I think even those are affected, that don't have an international perspective on their radar. And I would invite Lily and Scott to within their specific businesses. For instance, Scott doing with the speaker, I'd be very interested in how much of those have done expatriate programs to other international areas, if they're working for companies with multinationals, how much of them are here on the that perhaps are here in the specialized visa program, and whether Congress could finally extend that. Both parties want to do that. For some reason, they can't get it done, and some of those issues. But that's my perspective is really trying to facilitate this panel and trying to talk about some of these issues.
We're really glad you're here, and I'm going to have Scott go ahead and answer that question because I'd like to know more about that as well.
Sure. So with respect to the general international landscape as it's sort of played out over the last few years, so what we found is we work with primarily Fortune 50 companies, including those that are based here in Atlanta. And their scope of the way that they view their businesses has changed dramatically. So 10 years ago, there was sort of the U.S. business, and then there were these satellite organizations that were blossoming in other parts of the world. Now, a lot of our large clients look at the U.S. as almost a minor market compared to their international opportunities. So, for example, clients of ours like Ernst & Young and Cisco and Microsoft and Accenture have more employees outside of the U.S. than they do in the U.S. So they look at their international theaters as substantial organizations now where their primary growth lies in the coming years. Very big priorities for those organizations and how they execute strategies as a result. Quick comment on the repatriation issue. You know, I've heard that discussed in many, many conference rooms. And the biggest issue that I see is that if there's a moratorium, so to speak, and they allow that to happen for companies like Cisco, who I understand has $30 billion outside of the U.S. to bring that money back in with some kind of a reduced tax. The real issue, from my understanding, is that those companies who have not do not have money offshore, they have to pay taxes. So you would be essentially rewarding companies like Cisco by allowing them to bring that money back with some kind of reduced tax, and then penalizing those companies who kept their money here. And that's the one that both parties can't seem to resolve.
Now, with the added complexity of these multinational companies doing business in so many different locations, what are some of the things that they're challenged by when executing a global strategy, and how does your company fit in the mix to help them?
Sure. There's lots of issues. The one that we're obviously focused on is communication. So although English is the language preference with all these companies worldwide, the challenge is the various accent and speech pattern challenges that although they speak English, it's not consistent from country to country. In addition, a lot of these companies, because of the rapid amount of growth that they're experiencing, they can't move executives and personnel from country to country. So a lot of their communication as a result is done via conference call and telepresence and other video conferencing technologies, which even makes the language issues more complex. So we're working with a lot of companies on how to help them use language and use communication efficiently to drive business results. And I can tell you firsthand, it is a huge barrier, especially with the amount of business that's being done in India, for example. We send our faculty to Bangalore on a regular basis. We're dealing with huge populations of employees from large Fortune 50 companies trying to conduct business, all who have different cultural backgrounds and different ways of speaking English. Although it's English, it's spoken very differently.
Lilia, I'm curious your observations around communication.
Not
as well.
Only that, I actually figured out a long time ago that miscommunication is the biggest problem in the world, whether it's between the Americans. With Americans, whether it's on international level, it has a very complex group of things from which communication depends. It's a cultural aspect globally from country to country. It's a local family. As a family, you have different way of communicating. It's personalities and many, many, many other aspects of this, of course, make communication difficult. And we, as the World Trade Center Atlanta, try to mitigate all these problems which are built up on already difficulties when conducting international business. And we have seminars on cultural awareness. Before we do trade mission, we invite specialists. Unfortunately, we didn't know about you before. We didn't invite you, but it's a next step. But we invite specialists which teach our group on how to behave, how to communicate, what to say, what not to say, literally, by the points describing why it's not proper to compliment in Dubai your local boss's wife on her beauty. It's a big no-no, and a lot of people don't know that. And then these little things can ruin the business. Mm-hmm. And this is what we try to accomplish as the global organization with our local needs and with our local and global services we do for our members. And the role of World Trade Center is big. It's so big in local community also, because not everybody can travel internationally. We host every other month international dignitaries. We host delegations. Yesterday we had five people from China, Nanjing City. Our member is partnering with this group, and he brought them to the World Trade Center Atlanta to introduce and to emphasize, you know, of our global visions and what we can do with China and through his company, and how can we support and assist his business growth.
That's excellent, Lilia. Now, obviously, the cultural differences are the thing that you think of first when doing business internationally, but you all have worked internationally for so long, you've probably seen common themes that run through cultures as well, and the similarities that bring people together. Let's talk a little bit about that and your observations and learnings, and how you facilitate that through the business relationships that you're developing and the communication tools.
Sure. So what we've experienced in the last several years is more emphasis on Western-style communication. So most of our global corporate clients are trying to learn how to communicate in a Western style, and in fact are willing to, I don't want to say give up their unique local culture or particular behaviors, but they're very interested in learning how to communicate more like a U.S. businessman. So, for example, we quite often bring executives in from other parts of the globe to our New York City office, where they're working very hard to be able to walk into a meeting in a Fortune 50 office in New York and not be seen as an outsider, but really be seen as another business executive at the table. And they're actually working very hard on how to do that, from spoken image, visual image, all the business behaviors that are expected in a corporate America conference room, so that they blend more easily in those rooms.
That's interesting, especially considering the balance of business shifting the global trade to the East as well. What's driving the interest in being able to do business like, as you said, an American businessman?
There's so many expats overseas now, and the lines are getting very blurred. You know, we've done extensive work this past year in Bangalore, Dubai, Cambodia, many trips to Shanghai, and you know, we're experiencing a lot of expats who are driving business units for major corporations in those markets. They're hiring local, but there's definitely, from our perspective, the needle is moving to a more Western style of business communication worldwide. I can't give you a specific on why that's happening, but it's definitely happening. We just had, for example, not too long ago, the royal family sending several delegates from Dubai to New York specifically on how to mitigate some of those issues, including how to dress like an American business executive. So it is quite fascinating.
Interesting. Other examples of cultures coming together.
Well, as Scott goes down the road on, particularly with the Eastern culture on communication styles, one of the ones over the course of 15 to 20 years that one must understand it's evolving is their negotiation style and their avoidance of a conflict or a no. That you here in the West, you are have a style where you could exchange perspectives, which you think are the normal discourse, where many communities in the eastern part, very sophisticated communities actually, you must have a fine ear. It's evolving a little bit, but they will rarely tell you no, or they will rarely give you a different perspective. Everything's sort of a deflection strategy,
yeah,
and you sort of have to get to yes. And I think that's changing, but I think it's still not altogether changed, and you really must be cognizant of that discussion style. It's also the corollary of that, particularly in China, but also in Japan and Korea and other places. It is also very important to have a social interaction either prior to or in the course of that business interaction, where a Western executive might find it very typical to fly into, say, Brussels, have a meeting, and fly out. That would be an insult in many places in the East to not build in a social interaction.
Absolutely. We have seen, you know, it's interesting, the perspective of all those experiences, it is changing rapidly, and it's changing because millennials are moving into global corporate positions. So while everything Tully's referencing is absolutely true, it's changing rapidly at a pace that we're even surprised with. So, for example, we just had a major corporate client involved in a very significant acquisition, and it was an Asia-Pac company. And although we experienced some of those things, the interesting thing that the representation from this corporation, which is based in Beijing, is that they had a number of very young executives at the table. And at one of the breaks, we found out, so there were six of them. They were all under the age of, let's say, 30, and all six of them were educated. One got their degree at Michigan, one got their degree at Stanford, one got their degree at Columbia. I mean, these guys were so westernized, it shocked even us. And although they're elders who were, you know, in their 60s, who are hardcore Asian businessmen, they took a back seat to some of these younger executives who, from our perspective, communicated very much like any other 30-year-old graduating from Stanford with a business degree. So it's the millennials are driving westernized influence because a lot of them are being sent to the U.S. for their business degrees and their MBAs, and then they're brought back to run these corporations.
Yeah, I think the educational part of that is very important. You probably see that as the various world trade things, is how much of that people get that beachhead through educational opportunities, not only the foreign students here, but I think it's more and more becoming common where there's a class of U.S. students that'll do some international experience.
Yeah, and we have great examples of our board members which conduct business internationally, such as Urban Svensson, Craig Lesser, Scott McLellan. And what I've seen from them is that style of they develop trust first with the clients, then modesty, and cultural sensitivity. I think these three components are the most important, whether we conduct business in China or in Africa or in Russia or in the United States. And I've seen actually through other meetings, we travel each year to different general assemblies. World Trade Center Association is organizing every year general assembly in different countries. And I've seen that this is the keys to success because as Americans, I became an American 6 years, and yeah, 6 years ago, I'm very fortunate and lucky, but I've developed that, you know, very strong approach. Hello, nice to meet you, let's get to the business. When culturally, I was different while growing up in Moldova. First, I would have time to go for coffee and, you know, to create this nice, you know, friendship, to see who are you, what's going on with you. But I think here we are so, we are running for efficiency. We wanted to be on time. We wanted to do the best. And we're missing this little little for not for us, for a lot of people, it's the most important part. We're missing this connection. And as you know, everybody likes to do business with those who they like personally. If you like the person, you wanted to learn more about the person, you wanted to develop the relationship. And from that point, the business is coming easier because the person is predictable. You are not, afraid of any kind of surprises. And I believe that this is what we as Americans, we have to take in consideration. I'm not talking for everybody. I'm just speaking for myself because I've developed this. And I'm still learning from these executives of ours and the board members who, being Americans, found that key, learned this long time ago, and are able to mitigate this and make it so pleasant and it's so comfortable for the other parties from other countries to conduct business. This is why Craig Lesser brought here Kia in 2009 or 2008. Mr. Urban Svensson is working with five different continents, and Scott McClellan the same. That shows that if we learn the right path, that it will be much easier for all of us. And I'm learning too.
And Scott, I'm sure you've seen, as companies look to do business in other countries, they realize that there's no point in making that big investment unless you've also got the communication with trust and respect that goes along with the business transactions.
Yes, and the lines are just getting very blurred from our perspective. We've seen firsthand, when you walk into a conference room and there's multiple executives representing different global theaters, determining who's from what country based on their behaviors is becoming much more difficult to identify. I mean, it's...
Scott, how much, and Lilia too, how much of that do you think the communication practices of the millennials and the pervasiveness of media? I laugh when you say for Turner, because I think your chief communication internationally was send Scooby-Doo in everywhere for years. But how much of that do you think that they're consuming sort of the same media? You get the Korea video as the number one breakout thing. It just seems to be an international media
Absolutely.
Environment for anybody 30 and under.
Yeah, the millennials are driving it. Media plays a huge role, but the internet is the backbone of all of it, and that's the access to international information and international culture has become seamless. It's free over the net, and to walk into a meeting in Shanghai and see 30-year-old Asian executives working off of iPads, and the formalization of even the business card presentation, which is now I'll send you my contact information via email. The lines are blurring. And I think the millennials don't really recognize foreigners and Americans. It's a global marketplace. It's a global, we're all global citizens. We're all, peace on earth, and we're all trying to make the planet a better place. That identifying people based on what country they're from, which really, even from a visual image standpoint, used to be so obvious, it's become really, really difficult. I mean, we have international executives in our space every week. I can't tell you who's who based on how they look. It used to be obvious. And the fact that they're all equipped with iPads and they're all, working and functioning in a very similar fashion, and because their English even is so good, it's remarkable how good their English is. But, of course, they've been educated here, so we shouldn't be so surprised. It's just being, unless they actually identify themselves that I was born in this country and raised in this country and I now do business here, it would be very difficult to know.
I see that we're coming to something really important for the global community as the globalization. And what I like to see is that we adopt the best from each country, from each culture, and there is not anymore like Chinese style or African style or European style. We're actually becoming one conscious and one group of people who take the best. And I've seen this a lot in the United States, and I really admire this. I've been always saying that I appreciate the wisdom of universe. I take the best from different cultures, different communities, and I bring as one, because that brings the progress for the world. That brings the progress for any kind of business. And this is what we experience as the World Trade Center Association, as the global community, which adopts the best practices from all over the world. And this is what we will be actually emphasizing at our 30th anniversary gala, which will be November 8th, this Thursday. We have Tino Mantella, president of Technology Association of Georgia, talking about the importance of technologies in globalization. And Tim McCain from UPS is going to talk about why go global. These topics, I think, now became a topic for every interview, every other interview, because of the importance. And it's interesting to discuss, to see how it's evolving, to see the evolution of this globalization, because it's inevitable for all of us, whether we're here or we live in any other country.
Absolutely. In keeping with the idea of globalization and seeing events right here in our own backyard with an international current, Scott, you mentioned something here about TEDx. Are you involved with other international events here in Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, I don't identify events as being American events or European events.
It's great.
They're events, so they all are having an increasing international component to them, if you will, because the prevalence of corporate expansion internationally has become so prevalent. It just comes naturally. So whether it's TEDx or it's EO or my involvement with the Emory Board, all of them have international influence, both externally and internally. So the lines, again, are more blurred than ever.
Yeah, terrific. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I am going to have to start to wrap us up here, though, guys. We've got this great tradition here on the Results Matter show where we talk about the results that matter. So we've been talking about the Atlanta World Showcase and Governor's International Awards and the increasing global climate that we're seeing in the business community. I want to find out what results matter to you specifically in your organizations, and also as you see the larger world evolving as well. Lilia, let's start with you.
Thank you. My father always told me that it's not important how much time you've invested in project. Show me the results. And I wanted to mention that, yes, I can tell that World Trade Center Board and World Trade Center Atlanta has great results to show. We've assisted a large number of our members in expanding their business internationally. We've organized inbound, outbound trade missions. We've increased the visibility of Atlanta as international city worldwide by participating in international conferences, seminars, and again hosting dignitaries from all over the world. And for me, World Trade Center Atlanta is the world. It's the connection, important connection, and I recommend that whomever is listening and is interesting to learn more about what can we bring to the table and how can we support, I would be really glad to explain that. And I'm looking forward actually to talk more with Tala and Scott about this later on.
And let's make sure everybody knows the website for the World Trade Center Atlanta.
Yes, it's www.wtcatlanta.com. And please remember to join us on November 8th for our 30th anniversary. It's a big number for us, and we're very excited.
We're very excited for you. Thank you, Lilia.
Thank you.
Scott, let's talk results.
Sure. So for us, results has been the recognition and acknowledgement that the global marketplace is happening, and it's happening at a very rapid pace. And the fact that individuals are being recognized for their capabilities, regardless of what country they're from or where they were born or what language they speak, is just awesome. And it's particularly important for us in our organization because we're playing a very small role, but we're nevertheless playing a role in helping to bring those global marketplaces together.
Well, it's certainly evident that you've had some great results, and those are going to continue for some time. Make sure that you give the website for SpeakEasy.
Sure. It's www.speakeasyinc.com.
Excellent. Tully, how about wrapping us up here with some closing comments? It's been a great discussion today.
Well, one of the things I'd sort of emphasize, I think we've talked about the global market in the United States in general. The organization I work for actually has, I think, 7 offices now throughout the Southeast footprint. And I think that has been one evolving evolution. One thinks of the Northeast Corridor in Miami and San Francisco and Chicago as being traditionally, Southern California, obviously, as being traditional jurisdictions or places where the international trade and those interactions have been appreciated over the years. I think Atlanta is the capital of the Southeast, ahead of other places. Probably we're 25 years pre-Olympics and on in into the international interactions, but I think it's also spreading to other places, North Florida. There's a lot of seasoning in Nashville and other places, and I think some of those are industry-specific, but I think that is – the Southeast has been a good place for international companies to seek businesses, particularly on the manufacturing level. Our organization has been uniquely involved in helping with tax credits for some of the larger organizations like Mercedes, Kia, ThyssenKrupp, to put large organizations in the Southeast, and that's sort of an entree to the business community. I myself have worked with quite a few either Chinese-based or European-based looking in the Southeast, and while it is globalization, the Southeast is itself a distribution market. I think Atlanta, with people like others at the Trade Center being involved, has just, if anything, cemented its role as sort of the leading international business place in the Southeast. And we're happy that our organization is sort of well-placed in the Southeast to interact and help with that and deliver results.
Excellent. Thank you so much for tuning in for another wonderful show of the Results Matter Radio. I am Elizabeth Gordon, and you've been listening to BusinessRadioX.com. We will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.